in America, integrity is almost a forgotten thing. And because of that, I believe that there's not much integrity in the church. And when I talk about the church, I'm talking about born-again, Bible-believing people like ourselves. I looked up the definition in the old dictionary. Integrity is moral soundness or purity. It's incorruptness. Do you realize that because you live in the culture that you're living in, you have rationalized in your mind it's okay to do some things that you used to believe were wrong? And God has not changed, and it is wrong. That's because you don't have integrity. It's incorruptness, it's uprightness, it's honesty. Integrity comprehends the whole moral character, but it has a special reference to uprightness in our mutual dealings with the Lord and one another. First mention, Genesis chapter 20. Let's pick up in verse number 1. And Abraham journeyed from thence toward the south country and dwelled between Kadesh and Shur and sojourned in Gerar. And Abraham said of Sarah his wife, she is my sister, and Abimelech, king of Gerar, sent and took Sarah. Abimelech, this guy's a heathen. Are y'all with me? Doesn't know God, isn't saved, is a heathen king. Thinks he has the right to take any woman that he wants to take and have her for his own, right? Verse 3. But God came to Abimelech in a dream by night and said to him, behold, thou art but a dead man. I bet that got his attention. For the woman which thou hast taken, for she is a man's wife. But Abimelech had not come near her, and he said, Lord, wilt thou slay also a righteous nation? Said he not unto me, she is my sister? And she herself said, he is my brother. In the integrity of my heart and innocency of my hands have I done this. And God said unto him in a dream, yea, I know that thou didst this in the what? What's God acknowledging? This heathen king had integrity. Amen. In the integrity of thy heart, for I also withheld thee from sinning against me. Therefore, suffered I thee not to touch her. Now, therefore, restore the man his wife, for he is a prophet, and he shall pray for thee, and thou shalt live. And if thou restore her not, know thou that thou shalt surely die, thou and all that are thine. Did he have to do what God said? Why did he? He had integrity. That's the first mention of integrity. Go to 1 Kings chapter 9. 1 Kings chapter 9. This is God dealing with Solomon. And in verse number 4, he's making a promise to Solomon. In verse number 4 of 1 Kings 9, the Lord says, and if thou wilt walk before me as David thy father walked in the integrity of heart and in uprightness to do according to all that I have commanded thee and wilt keep my statutes and my judgments. Let's go to the book of Job, as we're all familiar with Job's story. Lots of great lessons in that book, but one of the main lessons is you can afford to lose anything and everything except your integrity. Amen. It's one of the greatest lessons in the book of Job. He lost his health, he lost his wealth, he lost his friends, he lost everything. He lost that close communication with his wife for a while, but he did not lose his integrity. That's a big thing, people. Chapter 3, verse number 3. And the Lord said unto Satan, hast thou considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in the earth, a perfect and an upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil, and still he holdeth fast his integrity. Alongside in my Bible, next to integrity, I have integrity underlined and circled. I also have these definitions for integrity. Purity, genuine. I like that. Did you ever get around a fake? Oh, God, aren't they pukey, pukey? genuine, unadulterated. The entire unimpaired state of anything, particularly of the mind, moral soundness, incorruptness, uprightness, honesty, the whole moral character, his integrity, although thou movest me against him to destroy him without cause. Look at verse number 9, same chapter. Then said his wife unto him, dost thou still retain thine what? So God recognizes he still kept his integrity. What else? Human beings know if you got integrity or not. Y'all with me? You can argue till the cows come home, but if you don't have it and people see you don't have it, you can't argue with that. So she saw it, cursed God and died. Let's go to chapter 27 in Job. Job chapter 27. Chapter 27, verse number 5. Job 27, 5. God forbid that I should justify you. Till I die, I will not remove mine integrity from me. Look at chapter 31, verse 6. The Bible says, let me be weighed in an even balance that God may know mine integrity. Boy, he sure does know it, doesn't he? As we are here tonight, if we are people of integrity, God knows it and other people know it. Right? Let's go to Psalm 7. Psalm 7. In Psalm 7, verse number 8. It says in Psalm 7 and verse 8, the Lord shall judge the people. Judge me, O Lord, according to my righteousness and according to mine integrity that is in me. Guys, when the Lord judges, it's a perfect judgment. And so the psalmist here is pretty confident in his integrity, asking God to judge him. That's how you and I should be when we talk to God, that we know that we are men and women of integrity. We're not crooked. We're not fake. We're not, are y'all with me? We're not liars. We're not deceivers. For time's sake, you could go to Psalm 25, Psalm 26, but go to Psalm 78 with me. I want to show you something here. Psalm 78. And look at verse 67, Psalm 78, verse 67. This is a great psalm. I was preaching out of it the other day. But here, the Lord is talking about himself, what he has done. Moreover, I'm in Psalm 78, verse 67. Moreover, he refused the tabernacle of Joseph. God refused the tabernacle of Joseph and chose not the tribe of Ephraim, but chose the tribe of Judah, the Mount Zion, which he loved. And he built his sanctuary like high palaces, like the earth which he hath established forever. He chose David also his servant, and took him from the sheepfolds, from following the ewes, great with young. He brought him to feed Jacob his people, and Israel his inheritance. Verse 72, so he fed them according to the integrity of his heart, and guided them by the skillfulness of his hands. You know what God can do? He can do whatever he wants to do. Amen. But you know what he does? He chooses to use some people and he chooses not to use other people. And do you know why? Integrity. He could count on them. Let's go to Proverbs chapter 11. Proverbs chapter 11. Guys, in my experience, I have run across preachers that are good preachers. They preach way better than me. They are talented preachers. They can sing. They can play instruments. They can draw. They can paint. Are y'all with me? And I'm telling you, I have seen God put them over on the sidelines and then use somebody like myself that's got no talents, very little ability or something like that. And there's only one thing that I can tell you. He knows I've got integrity. So rather than have smarts and education and talents and abilities, I think I'd rather have integrity. I was talking to that Keith is that his name? Keith. And Pastor Matt and I've never met the man until he came to church, but Pastor Matt and I have had the conversation with his books and all that kind of stuff, and Matt talking to him about the Lord and trying to get him out to church and everything. And when I went back there and talked to that man, I told him, I said, I really appreciate, you know, the books that you've sold to Matt and all this kind of stuff, you know. And he looked at me and he teared up. He says, I don't know what you've done. He said, but you sure did right with that man. He said, that man has a servant's heart. I don't know any higher compliment that you could give a human being than to say they have a servant's heart. Most people are just about themselves. Buddy, if the whole universe doesn't revolve around them get the what they think they should get or when they should get it. Buddy, they're pouts, you know, walk out the door, suck their thumb, whatever. Just like a baby. I tell you what, that guy didn't know what he was saying to me of the highest quality. How about you? Your whole life just about you? That's not a life of integrity. That's not considering what the Lord's done for you, what he continues to do for you. I'm in Proverbs 11, look at verse 3. The integrity of the upright shall guide them, but the perverseness of transgressors shall destroy them. Man, you know, if you're going to keep your integrity, there's going to be some hard decisions to make sometimes. I have a friend of mine, he called me several months ago. I won't go into all the details, but he had been friends with this preacher in this church for, 25, 30 years. And then he finds out some very disturbing news about this pastor. I mean, disturbing. And he realizes that he has to cut off that relationship, that fellowship, and he makes the call. They live in different states and everything. He makes that call, and news gets around about him taking that stand, and people are criticizing him to the fare thee well. He called me up, and before he made the decision, he called me up and asked me for some counsel. Buddy, that is the hardest kind of counsel that you have to give sometimes. But I'll tell you what, man, when somebody's dabbling in some unmentionable sin, but if you don't take a stand against that, there's something wrong with you. No, you got to have some integrity. Your integrity, well, that's what the Bible says right there, isn't it? Look at chapter 19, verse 1. Chapter 19, verse 1. Better is the poor. I'm in chapter 19 of Proverbs, verse 1. Better is the poor that walketh in his integrity than he that is perverse in his lips and is a fool. I want to ask you, how many of you need to answer me honestly. How many of you in here are poor, financially poor? Raise your hand. Now, you better not raise your hand. More Christians pray that they would get more money than they pray for the power of God in their lives. That's asinine. There's nothing in that Bible that tells you that making a lot of money is going to make you a better person. Amen. There's nothing in that Bible that tells you making a lot of money is going to make you a happier person. Amen. My Bible says godliness with contentment is great gain. Amen. Yeah. Those of you that play the lottery and all that kind of stuff, you know, the Bible does say you're not supposed to try to get rich real fast. Amen. You ever read that? But there's a whole lot of saved people, they would love to get rich real fast. Just think what I could do for the Lord. You're out of your mind, man. If you ain't doing it with your paycheck now, you wouldn't do it with your paycheck then. Amen. That's good preaching. Amen. Oh, well, I'm getting off the subject here. Chapter 20, look at verse 7 in Proverbs. The just man walketh in his integrity, his children are blessed after him. Boy, that'd be good. Do you think you ought to have integrity in your word? I do. In America, it used to be a man's word was his bond, right? People made deals, thousands of dollars of deals with a handshake because they trusted a man's what? His word. Now you got contracts that are 7,000 pages thick and people still break the contracts. Why? No integrity. How about saying you're going to do something or saying you're going to be somewhere, or saying that you're going to help someone? You think you ought to keep your word? Amen. How about signing up to be faithful, be a member of the church and assemble together with the church? Think you ought to be there? Amen. That's integrity. Amen. Y'all with me? Your word. You should. Hey, your finances. You should have integrity with your finances. You should not be a spendthrift. I understand. Listen, this is hard for some of you to understand. When I was in college, my dad got me a credit card. He didn't get me a credit card in my name. It was in his name, and my name was underneath his name. It was hard to get a credit card in 1970 for an 18-year-old boy. That's not true anymore. They have sent, we have got mail, okay, in our... When our children were 10 years old, 12 years old, in their name, they could have had credit cards. That's crazy. Listen to me, okay? Listen, your finances, you should have integrity in your finances. But here's the deal. The younger generation wants everything the older generation has. Listen to me. You know, this garage sale thing... and yard sale things, that wasn't always real popular in America. Do you know why? Because people kept their stuff until they couldn't use it anymore. Amen. It was trash. Amen. But now, okay, with TV, everything you have within the last year is old and lousy. And what you need is new and improved. Yeah. And there's a generation after my generation, after Pastor Matt's generation, that they don't want anything used. And when they start out, they want everything brand spanking new. So what do? They go into debt up to their eyeballs. And then what do? They don't pay their bills. Well, you know what? You start paying 20 and 22 and 23% interest on your credit card. And you get backed up there a little bit. Before you know it, you're paying $300 a month and it's all interest. You never pay off the principal. And then you just keep burning. Boy, we're getting quiet here, aren't we? Talking about having some integrity. Well, you know, I can't tithe this month. I can't give to missions this month. I can't give to the building this month because my car payment and, you know, I want to do this and I'm saving for vacations and I'm doing this. How about having some integrity? Show me your checkbook. I'll tell you where your importance is. I'll tell you where your priorities are. I'll tell you something else you ought to have integrity with. Your dealings with women and children. The word gentleman is not used very much in our society anymore. We should be gentlemen. We should deal with the opposite sex as gentlemen. We should be kind. We should be respectful. We should be polite. Are y'all with me? And we should be careful in our dealings with children. You should not be a hypocrite. In other words, when the parents are around, you're all, oh, gooey, gooey. And when the parents aren't around, you're the second in coming of the devil and mean to the kids. And so these kids see you act one way when their parents are around and another way when their parents aren't around. Where do they? You don't have no integrity with them. And there's not a child in this church that I haven't jerked up at a time or two. And I'm talking about you adults too, when you were children. Said, why? Because you needed it. But I'll tell you what, that wasn't how it was all the time. My Bible says this. It says, avoid the appearance of evil. Amen. There is more and more adultery and fornication going on. And I'm talking about the church, Caleb. Because men are not respectful of women. You got no business being alone with another woman or a teenage girl. Zero. Nothing. No. I'm telling you, if you were driving down the road and Kristen was on the side of the road, if it was just Kevin and Kristen was on the side of the road and it's raining and she got two flat tires, what Kevin needs to do is put Kristen in his car, him get in her car and tell her to drive home and get Daniel and tell him to get a cell phone so she could call him. And that's a joke. I don't care that he doesn't have one. I admire him for not having one. You don't ever get alone with a woman. Oh, well, I would never. Oh, my Bible says, he that thinketh he standeth, take heed, lest he fall. Amen. Oh, well, I would never commit adultery. You're a fool. You have integrity in the way that you deal with ladies and the way that you deal with children. You ought to have integrity with the way you deal with one another. You ought to have integrity at work. You shouldn't show up 2 minutes after or 2 minutes before. You should be early. All the time. And you shouldn't be the first one out of the door when it's done. Whatever needs to be done, you do it. Say amen right there. And you don't steal paper clips or wheelbarrows or pens or tablets of paper or banks or anything like that. It's stealing. It's stealing. Well, I work there, you know. No, well, you don't pay for it. Go to Staples and buy your own junk. Amen. Say amen. That's integrity. Amen. Don't steal their stamps. Stamps. Lord have mercy, they're 50 cents. I'll deliver one for you for 25 cents if it's local. You ought to have integrity. And then you ought to do the best job you can. Amen. Always. Amen. If you make a mistake, be honest about it and own up to it. Amen. And fix it. Have integrity. You ought to have integrity in your prayer life. You ought to pray every day. Now, there's lots of stuff you do every day. So you tell me all that other stuff is more important than praying? I'd say you need the Lord more than you need that other stuff. And ministry, you ought to have integrity in the ministry. If you're going to be involved in a ministry, you're going to have a submissive spirit. Amen. You can't be a proud poppycock. Amen. Y'all with me?
Amen.
You submit yourself. Amen. Some of you have real trouble submitting yourself to authority. Amen. That's because you don't have integrity. Amen. Oh, you don't submit, you surrender. Well, okay, but you know, you let everybody know that you're not exactly in agreement with whoever's running the thing. Well, we don't care what you think.
Amen.
Are y'all with me?
Amen.
You don't have integrity. If you had integrity, you'd submit to the leader, you'd support the leader, you'd pray for the leader, and you'd be the first one there to do something to help the leader. I don't care what ministry it is. It doesn't matter. Well, I don't know why Pastor did this. Well, you don't. That's right, and you're not going to know until the judgment seat. You have no idea. You think you know everything. You don't know nothing. If you had integrity, you'd just submit, you'd follow orders, and you'd do the best job you can. I believe Dan Clare is a smart man. I don't know what his IQ is, but I'll bet you his IQ is higher than my IQ. I bet you his understanding of mathematics, chemistry, and physics is a whole lot better than my understanding. Dan Clare has made a lot more money in his lifetime than I've made in my lifetime. Been a lot more successful in his engineering field. You all with me?
Amen.
I was sitting with him one day. We were just talking. And he said, "Preacher," he said, "people just don't get it, do they?" I said, "What do you mean, Dan?" "They just don't get it that you need to submit to the pastor, follow the pastor, and God will bless you."
Amen.
And I said, "You're right, Dan." "You're right again, Dan." Now listen, that's a simplistic statement, but it's a very deep statement. And since I've known Dan and since I've been his pastor, that has been how him and Mrs. Clare have been church members at Old Paths Baptist Church. If I've ever asked Dan to do something, he's never said why. No, really. I'm not telling you he didn't think why, but he didn't say why. He just did it. It's integrity in the ministry. You act, some of you act like God needs you. And he doesn't.
Amen.
He lets you.
Amen.
But you don't have integrity. And then you get in a position and you don't treat it with integrity. You let other things interfere with that ministry. Well, I can't make it tonight, Pastor Matt, you know, because. Well, I guess there's something more important. Why would I use you again when you prove that it's not that important to you? It's not a matter of integrity for you. You see, when we start talking about Christian, you know, just because somebody's saved, I don't think they're a Christian. No, that's not what the Bible teaches. But when you say Christian, there has to be a self-watch on a Christian's life. Go with me to 1 Timothy chapter 4. 1 Timothy chapter 4. Most church members are always going, that preacher, he's always sticking his nose in my business. He's always telling me, this is no good, this is no good. Where's the self-watch in your life? Why aren't you watching out for that stuff? Why aren't you agreeing with me when I preach the Bible about trying to help you in your life to have a life of integrity? Why is it always a complaint when you hear the truth? Instead of, that's exactly what I need to be watching out for. There has to be a self-watch on a Christian's life. 1 Timothy 4, look at verse 16. Take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine. Take heed. What's that mean? You're supposed to be paying attention. You're supposed to be watching out. Take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine. Continue in them. For in doing this, thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee. Look at 2 Timothy chapter 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2. As Christians, we should have a self-watch. But also, look what the Bible says here. 2 Timothy 2, verse 15. Study to show thyself approved unto God a what? A workman. Okay, now I know I'm going to stretch the brain cells here just a little bit. What do you think a workman might do? Oh, my. Go to work. Have you heard the saying in America about blue-collar, lunch-pail society? They're talking about the working class. If you want to know what has made America great, it was the working class.
Amen.
People that would wake up early every morning, the wife would pack them lunch, they'd go off to work, they'd work hard through the day, they'd carry their lunch pail to work, come home, get their paycheck, you know, buy houses, buy groceries, raise kids, and instill old-fashioned Christian, Judeo-Christian ethic into their family. Boy, we sure have drifted far from that. So we're supposed to study. What are we supposed to study? The sports pages? See how old I am? Sports pages. Who looks at a newspaper anymore? Everything's online. No, you're supposed to study the Bible. Okay, you know that I work real hard to try to encourage you to read your Bible every day. But reading your Bible isn't studying your Bible. Caleb, my wife said that she was at that secondhand store and she found Redpath's book on Nehemiah. Brother Jack Wood, one of the first books he told me to get was that Spurgeon's book that I got you, or she got you. My wife got that for you. And that's another one was Redpath's books. He told me to get Redpath's book on the making of a man of God, the life of David, Redpath's book on the book of Joshua, and Redpath's book on the book of Nehemiah. So I did. I went and I got them, and I started reading them. And I have given books out. You guys would have a lot of liberty with my memory because I don't remember if I lent the books or gave the books. And you could easily say, oh, preacher, you said you gave it to me. And I would, oh, okay, I forgot.
Wow.
That's what Pastor Matt's been doing for 3 years.
Wow.
Where was I? Nehemiah. In Nehemiah, the main theme of that book is our service for the Lord. Nehemiah had a nice cushy job. The job that he had to leave the cushy job for to go do in Jerusalem was a hard job. God Amen. Needed a man of integrity
Amen.
That wouldn't go fellowship with the heathen
Amen.
And stop the work of God.
Amen.
He needed a man that would have a trowel in one hand and a sword in the other hand.
Amen.
Work for the Lord. Integrity. You read that book and the men and women of God that he used are men and women of integrity. And yet we're living in a society that is doing everything to tear down the integrity in human beings and think it's okay. The heroes of America have no integrity. You look at me, okay? A man and a woman make vows to one another. I'm going to marry you. I'm going to be faithful to you. And they go out and commit adultery. They have zero integrity. They'll never have any integrity.
Amen.
You, okay, you go out and you whoremonger around. I would not believe you if you recited the two times table to me. You said you took a vow before God and before witnesses. Say amen.
Amen.
And you broke that vow to that woman you said that you were going to be faithful to the rest of your life, or that man you said you'd be faithful to. And then you're going to give me a reason why that's okay. There's no integrity in that. No. That's not honesty. Are y'all with me? You count the cost before you ever get in there. I remember Joe Newman's dad took Joe aside. Joe Newman's dad died when Joe was relatively young. And Joe was a teenager, and he was trying to help him. He said, Joe, he said, when you think that you have found the woman that God wants you to marry, he said, Joe, I want you to do this. He said, Joe, I want you to picture a terrible accident happening to your wife. She's bedridden for the rest of her life, and you have got to feed her, and you have got to change her, and you have got to, and he just goes on. He said, and if you think that you could do that the rest of your life for that woman, that might be the one for you. What was he trying to do? That old man was trying to put some integrity into Joe to count the cost and not just have some frivolous little puppy love or whatever they're calling it nowadays, infatuation. Are y'all with me? Those decisions in the eyes of God are very important decisions. They should be very important decisions in our lives. I was reading an article the other day. There's a state in the union that if two people are married and they want to get a divorce, they can be divorced in a couple of hours if no children are involved. Guys, when I was a kid, divorce was a dirty word in America. Not the church. I wasn't saved. In America. Not anymore. Integrity. We're workmen. We should study that book. That, if you're going to have integrity, if you're going to live uprightly, you're going to have something to show you how to do it. And that book will show you how to do it. That book will teach you to be a man. That book will teach you to be a woman. That book will teach you to be a husband. That book will teach you to be a wife. That book will teach you to be a father. That book will teach you to be a mother. That book will teach you to be a servant. Are y'all with me?
Amen.
Teach you how to handle your money. Teach you how to handle problems. That book is the answer.
Amen.
You'll never live a life of integrity if you don't study that book. You've got to study the Word of God. Let's go to Ecclesiastes. What are the tools? What are the tools that a Christian uses? Oh, the Bible's one, is it not? And prayer is another, is it not? And church is another, is it not? And fellowship is another in the ministry. Look at Ecclesiastes 10. Ecclesiastes chapter 10, look at verse 10. If the iron be blunt, and he do not whet the edge. Do you all know what W-H-E-T, whet the edge, means? Who knows what that means? Daniel. Sharpen doesn't mean wet it with water. W-E-T. It's W-H-E-T. Y'all with me? Okay. We okay?
Yep.
Just trying to help you. Where was I? If the iron be blunt and he do not whet the edge, then must he put more strength. But wisdom is profitable to direct. If you're going to be a real Christian, you know what you have to do? You have to keep your tools in good state of affairs. How's your prayer life? I remember when I was in Bible school, I had an old man come in and preach chapel one time. He preached on prayer. And buddy, I was real young in the Lord, and you know, I was just wandering around. And he said this, he said, you guys say you're called to preach. He says, you guys are going to pastor people. He said, people are going to have problems. He says, sometimes you're going to have tragedies. People are going to have tragedies in their life. And the first thing those people are going to do is they're going to call their pastor. And they're going to tell their pastor that they have these tragedies, these circumstances, these problems. And pastor, you need to pray for me. I need your prayers. He said, if you haven't been praying, if you have no prayer life, what are you going to do for your people? He said, you're useless. He's pretty plain spoken. He said, you're supposed to be a pastor, a shepherd, and your sheep have problems and they need your prayers and you can't pray. You're not even right with the Lord because you haven't been praying. Boy, that made an awful big impression on me. He said this. He said, that church is paying you to read and study your Bible and pray. He said, the least you can do is read your Bible, pray every day, pray for your people, and study your Bible. And I'm sitting there going, that seems elementary. And as I thought that, that old man says, that seems rather simple, doesn't it? He said, but in my, and he had been preaching 50-some years, my 50-some years, he said, I've ran into very few pastors that take care of their tools. Well, you say you're a Christian. You're not going to make it in the flesh. Amen. So you better keep your tools in good order. Amen. We okay? You know what I read about? Y'all know who Michelangelo was? Painted the Sistine Chapel and all that kind of stuff. He did a whole lot more paintings than that. You know what I read about him? He knew the effect of his brushes being in the right order, the right condition. So you know what he did? The book I read said he made his own brushes. Pretty important. Spurgeon said it this way, and I'm quoting, "We shall be likely to accomplish most when we are in the best spiritual condition. Mind and heart. We must educate our intellectual and emotional faculties. It must affect our spirit, our soul, and our body if we're going to be a Christian and have integrity. You have no integrity, you're not a Christian." Amen. McChaney said this, "A holy minister is an awful weapon in the hand of God." I looked up minister. I looked up the verb. The verb minister means to attend and serve. I looked up the noun minister, a chief servant. You know what most people are looking for today? A high-paying position. That's not what a servant is. That's not what a minister is. The noun is a chief servant, an agent appointed to transact or manage business under the authority of another. Let's look at a couple verses. Go with me to Romans 15. Romans 15. I think we should beware of shoddy. Do you know what I mean by shoddy? shoddy people who claim to be Christians, whether it be inward or outward. If a man tells you that he cheats in something, then what's to keep you from believing he's going to cheat you on something? Do you follow what I'm saying? If he is casual in his relationship to some women, what makes you think he wouldn't be casual in his relationship with your woman? Does that make any sense? No, we should have integrity. Romans chapter 15, verse 25. But now I go unto Jerusalem to minister unto the saints. He wasn't going to collect a salary. He's going to do what? To serve, to help, be a blessing, preach, teach, encourage. Verse 26, for it hath pleased them of Macedonia and Achaia to make a certain contribution for the poor saints which are at Jerusalem. It hath pleased them verily, and their debtors they are. For if the Gentiles have been made partakers of their spiritual things, their duty is also to what? Unto them in what? Carnal things. Carnal things. So in other words, when preachers and teachers minister to you spiritually, you have a duty to minister to them physically. Amen. Those that live of the gospel, I mean, those that preach the gospel should live of the gospel. Hey, listen, when you hear somebody start saying, well, I think the preacher makes too much money, or I think the preacher has too nice a car, okay, you need to just get away from somebody like that. I read a sports article the other day. Caleb, they are signing basketball players at $50 million a year. A year. For some yo-yo to run up and down the court in his underwear. Daniel, I have said this publicly. If that guy is worth 50 million, what is a missionary, what is a gospel preacher worth to preach the words of life and people be saved? But our world doesn't look at it that way, do they? And yet, saved people in the church pew, they will not criticize the heathen out there making that money, but they will be tight-fisted with the money in the house of God. No integrity. Look at Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. Look at verse 29 with me. Ephesians 4:29. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may what? Minister what? Grace. Unto the hearers. Okay, listen, this is between me and you guys, my church. And I am going to have to stand before the Lord and give account of things that I said that I wish I had never, ever said. Amen. Talked about with people. The older I got, the more I wanted to be quiet about stuff. The older I get, the less I want to talk to anybody about anything negative. Now, sometimes you have to. I understand that. But do you understand what I'm saying? Just not too long ago, I'm thinking 4 or 5 months ago, I am talking to this guy, and this guy calls me up, okay? And he tells me something about somebody that I wish he had never, ever told me about. Do you understand that? But when I got that, I had a responsibility. So I called up the person that he was telling me about, and then you have to go through all that stuff. Are y'all listening to me? You want to be careful about what you say and who you say it to. If you're a man or a woman of integrity, you want to minister grace in your speech. And listen to me. The preacher will say things from behind the pulpit. That doesn't give you license to do it. That's part of my job. Do you understand that? That's not your job. I'll ring Kevin out from the pulpit. You don't ring Kevin out from the pulpit. If you overhear me talking to somebody and jerking their chain, you don't even know all the things. It's none of your business. Don't you have a full-time job taking care of yourself? Then what do you want to do? Stick your big fat nose in somebody else's business. Study to be quiet. Could I give you some good advice? Shut up. Don't have integrity about your speech. I thank God for my folks. They were not saved, but my mother used to say, is it true? Is it necessary? Do you have to say it? I want you to turn with me. I'm running out of time. Matthew 25. Evil communications corrupt good manners, don't they?
Yes,
yeah. Well, we believe that about others, but sometimes it's hard to apply it to ourselves. Matthew 25, look at verse 34. Bible says in Matthew 25, verse 34, then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, come ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was an hungry, and ye gave me meat. I was thirsty, and ye gave me drink. I was a stranger, and ye took me in. Naked, and ye clothed me. I was sick, and ye visited me. I was in prison, and ye came unto me. Then shall the righteous answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee an hungry, and fed thee, or thirsty, and gave thee drink? When saw we thee a stranger, and took thee in, or naked, and clothed thee? Or when saw we thee sick or in prison and came unto thee? And the king shall answer and say unto them, verily, I say unto you, inasmuch as ye have done it unto one of the least of these my brethren, ye have done it unto me. Then shall he say also unto them on the left hand, depart from me, ye cursed, in everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was an hungry, and ye gave me no meat. I was thirsty, and ye gave me no drink. I was a stranger, and ye took me not in. Naked, and ye clothed me not. Sick, and in prison, and ye visited me not. Then shall they also answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee an hungry, or athirst, or a stranger, or naked, or sick, or in prison? Look at the next phrase. And did not minister unto them. See what ministry is? It's helping people out. Yep. Ministering is helping others. It's doing for others.
Amen.
Verse 45, then he shall answer them, saying, verily, I say unto you, inasmuch as ye did it not to one of the least of these, ye did it not to me. And these shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into life eternal. Now, I understand the context there, but the principles in the Bible is about ministering.
Amen.
And when you minister to others, you're ministering to Christ.
Right.
Is that what the Bible teaches? Amen. And when you have opportunity to minister and you don't, then you don't do it for the Lord. If we are going to be God's ministers, we cannot be content with being a quote-unquote average Christian.
Amen.
What we're going to have to do is mature. We're going to have to grow. We're going to have to advance as a believer, as a servant, as a servant. We should breathe godliness. We should pulsate godliness about us. If we're not going to be an average, quote-unquote, Christian. We're going to have to be self-motivated. Some of you guys say that you're called to preach. Well, preachers are leaders. Well, leaders have to be self-motivated. They can't just do what they're told to do. They have to find things to do and go ahead and do them. Set the tone. We should, as Christians that are not going to be just an average Christian, We are to have an eye of faith that's very bright. We ought to have resolution and firmness and convictions that are very strong. And then we should just be busy in the work of the Lord. I really, for those of you that mess around on social media and spend all day texting and whatever y'all do, if you were busy serving the Lord, you wouldn't have time to do all that stuff.
Amen.
I think there's a great danger for Christians that are trying to rise above being just an average Christian. Just as we read about Job, and when the devil was unleashed on him, I mean, he unleashed on him. Well, you know, you're not going to get away with living a holy and a godly and a separated and a busy life for the Lord. The devil's not going to leave you alone. The world's not going to leave you alone. And some saved people won't leave you alone. Nobody will have anything good to say about you. There's a character of being a minister. There's that integrity of being a minister. Let's go back to Exodus 24. Let me show you something here real quick. Try to finish up here. Exodus 24. Exodus 24, and look at verse 13 with me. And Moses rose up in his what? And who was his minister? It doesn't say the Lord's minister. It says his minister. Is that what it says? And we know that that is a chief servant. And a chief servant is to what? He's to serve. So we often serve, or we often minister to God by ministering to others. See, Vacation Bible School, I thought it was such a blessing after a year of all COVID and all the years not being able to do something like that. You get some kids coming in here. We had the opportunity to minister to those kids. Now, I'm not talking about just teaching classes. Some of you talk. We had the opportunity to befriend them. But that wasn't important to everybody. Because life is about themselves. You never know the gospel seeds that God drops in somebody's life. Joe Whistler was a long-haired rock group, motorcycle guy who got saved around the same time I did in Westchester. And Joe's testimony was, when he was a kid, somebody took him to some function at church. I don't know if it was a Bible club or Vacation Bible club. He's just a little kid. And he heard the guy. That was the first gospel seed that got dropped in his heart. And he said all those years went by, his teenage years and into his 20s and 30s. He was in his 30s when he got saved. His hair was down to his back down there, but he was a real hippie. And he said when that night that he got saved, he said he remembered that gospel seed that woman put in there. The kindness. He talked about how kind she was and nice to him and stuff like that. See, we're used to instant everything. We want to see something right away, but what you do is you invest in somebody's life. You become a friend to them, kind to them. I never forget that little girl, Pastor Matt, was it you who said pick out somebody, pick a leader to get in the race or something, remember? That game that we played over there? Was it another leader who told that little, was it you? It was you. Thanks a lot. And that little girl, she saw me over there and she points at me. Man, I was trying to indwell that wall.
Amen.
And then I got preaching that night and all those kids, their eyes were just locked on me.
Amen.
And I saw that little girl and I made a special move to her that I'd never, ever forget her.
Amen.
You never know what God will do.
Amen.
I think it's a privilege to serve the Lord. I think it's a privilege to help somebody. I've been working out. I have. I'm getting ready for hockey at back to school camp. I'm going to school some of you guys. I said, why? Because I love them. I want them to see that you can love God with all your heart. You can live a holy life. You can be busy in the work of the Lord. And you can have a good time doing it.
Amen.
Yeah. Integrity. Look at Exodus 28. Exodus 28. I'd say Joshua was a pretty good minister, wasn't he? Lord said, you know, when I take Moses out, I'm just going to stick Joshua right there. He's been following you. Read all the ministers in the Bible. Who was Elijah's minister? Elisha. What did he do all those years? I'll tell you what he did. He carried his bags. That's what he did. He made his food. Got him some water. Yep. He didn't sit around talking about how much he knew. I am in Exodus 28, verse 1. And take thou unto thee Aaron thy brother, and his sons with him, from among the children of Israel, that he may minister unto me in the priest's office, even Aaron, Nadab, and Abihu, Eleazar, and Ithamar, Aaron's sons. And they made him garments and all like that. Let's go to Matthew 20. Matthew 20. Talking about integrity in a Christian's life and about being ministers and workmen. Look at Matthew chapter 20. I'm sure you all have heard this saying, God's way up is down, and God's way down is up. Yeah. You want God to elevate you, you'll humble yourself down. You want to get knocked down, you just proud yourself up, and he'll knock you down. Matthew 20, look at verse 26 with me. Matthew 20, verse 26, but it shall not be so among you. But whosoever will be great among you, let him be your, there's that word again. And whosoever will be chief among you, let him be your servant. Even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many. Boy, that's great. Isn't that great preaching? That's great preaching. Let's go to 1 Timothy chapter 4. 1 Timothy chapter 4. Guys, look up here. If God starts blessing old paths and we get people saved, new people start coming in, what are they going to do? They don't know nothing about Christianity. They're going to look at you. They're going to listen to you. They're going to watch you. Well, if you don't have integrity, you're not a good one to watch. What did Paul say? Follow me as I follow Christ. Can I say to a young couple, hey, listen, just hook your bumper to Matt and Steph's bumper and just follow them and go with them. Can I say to a younger couple, just hook your bumper to Tim and Bethy. Just follow them. Now, you know me. I am not going to tell them to follow you if I don't think they ought to follow you. Amen. Say amen.
Amen.
Don't get mad at me.
Amen.
I don't live your life. I didn't make your testimony. Where did I tell you to go? 1 Timothy chapter 4. Now, the Spirit speaketh expressly that in latter times some shall depart from the faith. Oh, my. Giving heed to what? Seducing spirits. Doctrines of devils. I wonder if you get some of those seducing spirits on the internet or TV or movies or friends or relatives. Doctrines of devils, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron. Ever talk to somebody that doesn't think sin's wrong? Conscience has been seared. Forbidding to marry and commanding to abstain from meats which God hath created to be received with thanksgiving of them which believe and know the truth. For every creature of God is good, nothing to be refused if it be received with thanksgiving. For it is sanctified by the word of God in prayer. If thou put the brethren in remembrance of these things, thou shalt be a good what? Of Jesus Christ. Nourished up in the words of faith and of good doctrine, whereunto thou hast attained. But refuse profane and old wives' fables, and exercise thyself rather unto godliness. For bodily exercise profiteth little, but godliness is profitable unto all things, having promise of the life that now is, and of that which is to come. This is a faithful saying, and worthy of all acceptation. Guys, our character, our integrity, must be more persuasive than what we say. You know the old saying, talk is cheap. And remember I was telling you about people are watching you? I've used this illustration before. When I was in Bible school, I was working in that car wash, and one of my jobs was to detail the cars, and I did the engine, and I was working on this 1966 GTO. It was a classic. It was a beautiful automobile. And I was under that thing, and I was admiring that 440 cubic inch, four-barrel carburetor engine, and I was shining that baby up, waxing that baby up. And those old cars, they had a metal hook right in the middle of the hood coming down because it would click onto the latch at the bottom. And I was down there, and I lifted my head up, and I thought I was all by myself. And I lifted my head up, and the crown of my head, there's probably still a dent there, hit that pointed thing. Ah, and I go, praise God. Oh, hallelujah. I had tears in my eyes. And I lifted my head up, and there was the owner's 23-year-old son standing there. Now listen, when I got saved, I quit using foul language. But that didn't mean I didn't know how. And he looks at me, and he goes, I don't believe you. I had witnessed to him. We had gone to Lamaze classes together. I said, what? He said, I can't believe you are not throwing things and cussing and carrying on. He goes, I know that must hurt. I said, it hurts. So what are you getting at? There's times that old man will try to rear its ugly head. But people are watching you. We can't let that stuff happen. True ministers are always ministers. I remember I got interviewed to be a chaplain at Polyclinic Hospital. The head chaplain down there was a Lutheran. So he's interviewing me, okay? I'm thinking, oh boy. This is what he said to me. He said, I am a professional Lutheran pastor. I said, that's great. He said, my professional life is when I'm with those church people. He says, but my whole other life is when I'm not with those church people. Did you understand what he's saying? And I just looked at him. I said, well, that's great for you, I guess. I said, but that's not me. I said, my closest friends are my church folks. I said, the folks that I spend all my time with is my church folks. I said, that is my crowd. A minister is always a minister. I don't just minister to you. I minister to her. I minister to those kids. I minister to those kids. When I go to a church and preach, I minister to those people. I don't come in like the big poobah and just sit there, you know. I make friendships. I shake hands. I get those kids. I got kids that just, they love me. Their parents aren't crazy about me, but their kids love me. They bake me cookies and what's that kind of bread that one girl up there in New York makes? Banana bread. Yeah. After their pastor, they think I'm the best preacher in the world. Amen. Don't you tell them any different either. We should always be ministers. After the Gospels, what's the next Bible book after the Gospels? This is a trick question. Go ahead, Cass. Close. What is the title of the book of Acts? the Acts of the Apostles. Amen. It doesn't say the sermons of the apostles. It says the Acts. You get it? Spurgeon, he's talking about holiness in Christianity. He said the chief necessity and the goodliest ornament for a Christian is holiness. We ought to be a burning and a shining light as John the Baptist was. John chapter 5. Let me finish up with this. When I say finish up, what are y'all laughing at?
Miriam.
Growling. And you guys can hear that? And you're easily distracted. Can I? Okay, this is what I'm going to finish up with. We should be sound in our doctrine, and we should live a fruitful life if we're going to be ministers and have integrity. A minister of Christ that has integrity, his and her tongue and their heart and their hands and their feet should all agree. If you're going to be a man or woman of integrity and a good minister, you should never fall short on your word. I'm going to close with trying to give you some good counsel. You do with it what you want to do with it. Here's some things to avoid. Debt. Avoid being unpunctual. For those of you that don't know what punctual means, it means on time.
Amen.
And listen, at OPAS, you should be here early.
Amen.
Avoid gossiping. And I know we can label gossiping all kinds of different things, but it's still gossip, and you shouldn't mess around with it. Petty quarrels you should avoid. Petty. That goes for you kids, too. Little vices. Remember, it's the little foxes that spoil the vine. It's the little flies that fill the ointment and spoils the ointment. As a man and woman of integrity, as a minister, you know what you don't want to do? You don't want to fail. Say you're going to do something? Do it. You're going to get involved in something? Do it. Don't quit. Finish the course. Integrity. It's a very deep subject. It's a very lacking characteristic in God's people. I didn't preach this to make you mad. I preached this to try to help you. We should evaluate ourselves in light of the Word of God. And let the Holy Ghost speak to us. And we should want to go forward and make the changes that God wants us to make.